Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Blurbtastic series of interviews. I am joined by a man who does so many podcasts, it'd be ridiculous if I listed them all, but among those of the most note, Tech News Today, Forecast, and Sword and Laser for those who are literarily inclined. I'm joined by Tom Merritt. Thank you very much, Tom, for joining me.
Thank you, Jason. It's good to be here.
Oh, come on. Right off the top.
I'm just kidding. I know Justin's name.
Tomas Merritt. All right. Well, you know, what we're going to do here is tell you a little bit about, or ask you rather, some of your favorite books. And we're going to start with a biography. You know, what is your favorite biography that just immediately sticks out of your mind?
That's a tough one because I don't do a lot of biographies. There was a really good, and I can't remember the name, biography of the Supreme Court, the Warren Court, actually.
Really?
Where they did, it was a book where they did a profile of everything that was going on with that Supreme Court and why it happened and how it happened. That's not a classic bio, like, you know, I'm tempted to want to go.
What was the Warren Court?
Earl Warren was the Chief Justice, and I wish I could remember. It was a Bob Woodward book.
Ah, that guy.
Yeah, and I bet I could look it up real quick. I'm also tempted to go Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Which, of course, yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, if we want to go really drive by the numbers bio, we can go ahead with that one.
The Brethren was the name of that book about the Supreme Court, and really fascinating read into how the Supreme Court actually works. And it does, even with entirely different members as it has now, it doesn't work that much differently than it did. This was written back in the early 70s.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of those things, and we're going to have a best or favorite nonfiction one. So maybe we can save that one a little later for that particular category. But I really do think with stuff like that, it's, I know for me with nonfiction and biography, you really kind of want something that still resonates general theme-wise with your, you know, contemporary life. It's always, those are the ones I always find the most interesting.
Yeah, I have to admit, I have not read that many biographies, and so I'm going to go with Philip K. Dick.
Oh, okay.
He's my favorite author of all time, and the biography that I read about him, right up there. You know what? Now I'm remembering. I'm like, but then there's also the biography of Hunter S. Thompson. But I'd still pick the Dick biography over Thompson.
Okay,
that's close though. That's really close.
Do you remember the name of that one?
No names. I can't remember my name. I will look it up though.
That's fine.
I asked if I needed to be prepared, and
No.
I don't.
It's all good. If somebody actually, we are live on twit.tv. So if anybody in the chat room wants to help me out with that, I would.
There's a few of them. And I think it may just be called Philip K. Dick.
Okay. Now, when it comes to the biography stuff, I mean, are you the kind of guy? I know for me, I almost gravitate more toward the unofficial ones, just because you're going to be able to get
the Kitty Kelly ones.
Yeah, I don't know about Kitty Kelly specifically, but definitely I'm almost more, especially for figures that I find really interesting, because I would rather read several and just kind of match the basic facts. But if you're really going to go far out into the unsubstantiated rumor thing, that would be something that I'm definitely.
Yeah, and one of the few times where I read an authorized biography that I thought was really well done was one about Paul McCartney. It was done from primary sources as well as interviews with McCartney. So that was a really good one. But
the rock and roll guys tend to have the better official one, just because they have less to hide. More has kind of been out there already. You know, it's not like you're going to get like a politician's biography where everything's super scrubbed for the historical record.
Divine Invasions, A Life of Philip K. Dick. That's the name of it.
There we go.
Wow, you picked like the worst book subject for me, biographies.
See,
right?
That's fine. See, now that's behind us, Tom. We can get the hard stuff out of the way and we can just go all the way downhill. Listening.
Like, this guy doesn't know anything about books.
Boo, yeah. So a book that you'd recommend to a high schooler. So maybe something that was influential to you or something that you could certainly see being relevant to somebody young in today's modern age.
Your Catcher in the Rye pick, so to speak.
Which sure.
Is,
yeah.
That's not what I would necessarily, I'm not going to pick, but that's sort of the classic like coming of age book.
And I was thinking that there was kind of two ways you could go with that. Either the classic that really affected you or something that in hindsight you would think, you know, would be very appropriate for somebody, you know, who's about to enter college and the workforce, like something that from your perspective would
resume
would,
you know, building.
Like, well, I don't know. Yeah, even not that, but like, you know, if let's say there's somebody, you know, if being in terms of broadcasting, if you know, personal blogging or podcasting would be something that you would think that people should pay more attention to, maybe a bio or something with a figure who is important in that, you know?
Yeah. These are tough calls. These are good questions. Like there's a ton of books that are important to me. And yet I'm trying to pick if I have to do one. Like I'd actually recommend reading The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand, not because I'm a big fan of everything she's ever written or an objectivist or anything, but I think it's really an important read in the pantheon of things to read. But I wouldn't pick that as the single book because that's too narrow.
I don't think that's actually a very, very good pick. I mean, in that, you know, there is, you know, with like, you know, Milton or the Road to Serfdom, you know, with Hayek, you know, being on the bestseller list, you know, the objectivist kind of thing is at least a very relevant, you know, particular thought process in today's day and age.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say Nine Nations of North America by Joel Garreau. And the reason I'm going to say that is the book that inspired me to write Boiling Point. When I read it, I was an intern at National Public Radio, and it totally changed the way I viewed the United States and the way I thought about people, because the book essentially, it's written by a Washington Post reporter, Joel Garreau, and he says, I have noticed in traveling around and reporting that there are more similarities between people in regions than people within borders. And not just borders of states, but borders of countries as well. So he divides North America up into nine nations that he says within these nations, people are more culturally cohesive than they are between nations.
Yeah.
So there's Mex-America, for instance, which takes most of Mexico and then spreads up into southern Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, southern California.
Yeah.
Then there's Ecotopia, which is from San Francisco all the way up through British Columbia, all the people in the Pacific Northwest. And then, you know, it goes on. The Foundry, the Breadbasket, the Caribbean. And he really gives you an entire, even though it's a little old, it gives you an entirely new appreciation for how there are cultural differences in the way we are, even though we think of ourselves as one United States.
Now, you did that as part of the narrative of your book, Boiling Point. Right.
Yeah. After I read that book, I sat down and I came up with the idea for Boiling Point as the breakup of the United States in a Soviet nation. Like, because at the same time that I was reading that book, the Soviet Union was falling apart. It had become Russia. And so, you know, Lithuania and Ukraine and Belarus, they were all breaking apart. And so I was fascinated with this idea that a monolithic nation could somehow devolve into separate nations afterwards.
I'll tell you, that is a great pick. I'm actually going to read that now, too.
I would also, let's see if I can remember the name. There was a Class by David Fussell I would throw in there as well. Same reason. Instead of perspectives on culture and regions, it gives you a new appreciation for class structure in the United States, which we don't like to admit we have. But he does a great job of teasing it out and showing how we have this class structure that's just like any European nation, but we sort of try to hide it and not pay attention to it. And he has this great quiz at the end where you can decide by answering questions which class you belong to. And his X class, where he said there's also a generation of young people who are just opting out of the whole class system entirely, is what gave Douglas Coupland the idea to write the book Generation X.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's really interesting. And by the way, I do want to remind everybody that there will be a page on Blurbtastic that is specifically going to list all of not only Tom's, I just realized, ironically, Tom's top five book picks. A plug for, of course, your show on Revision 3. But also all the other ones that we discuss. So make sure.
Paul Fussell. I think I may have said his name right. It's Paul Fussell.
What is the best sci-fi book, wait for it, written in the last 10 years?
Last 10 years. So since 2000.
Yes.
Wow. All right. that's hard because I don't remember. You read things out of order.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's sci-fi books. I'm like, oh, well, the one I've read in the past 10 years. Oh, wait, that was written in the 80s. So, I think I know the answer to this, though. American Gods.
By Mr. Neil Gaiman.
And I may have to double back on that. But right now, top of mind of a book that I knew I went out and I grabbed brand new off the shelf and read immediately. If you haven't read American Gods, it is a telling of a tale of comic book gods and weird tourist attractions as places of power, and then the old gods from the old world coming to battle them in the United States, and one man gets caught in between them. And it's just so well told and so well done, with so many great ancient allusions mixed up with modern pop culture allusions. Gaiman's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, like, you know, there really are few people in his genre that's better at that kind of, you know, myth and world building. And I would even say just myth building. I mean, if you look at, like, you know, Sandman was hugely, influential to me, and I loved it so much. And, like, when you really think about how he kind of builds stuff on top of the already, you know, standing sort of structures and mythos, it's kind of amazing where he goes with stuff.
Yeah, a couple of people in the chat room are taking me to task. They're like, "Is American Gods really sci-fi, Mr. Merritt?"
Yeah,
I think so.
But also, the fact that I put the 10-year thing on you, I'm willing to give you leeway there, or if you want to fudge it a little bit past 10 years.
Well, it's one of those questions. Do you mean science fiction, or do you mean the wider, like, sci-fi fantasy? Because I'm not taking American Gods and just throwing it in the mainstream novels section at the bookstore. I'm going to put it in sci-fi. Put it in both places, actually. But it fits in that wider definition of sci-fi fantasy. If you want to narrow it, I'd probably easily go to a William Gibson novel, and I'd be hard-pressed to pick which one of the ones.
Well, you can name a couple.
Recognition this past 10 years?
If it's not, I'm sure it's close enough.
Spook Country was really good too, but I think Pattern Recognition was. It was 2005. So yeah, I would say Pattern Recognition by William Gibson if you want to get more sci-fi chair room.
Let me get your favorite nonfiction book. Now, you mentioned the Brethren about the Warren Corridor. Are there any that that also pop to mind?
Yeah, well, Nine Nations of North America would be up there, but I've already thrown that out. The Brethren, pretty fantastic. You know, I've read a ton of Arthurian history.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And in other words, nonfiction books about the Roman Britain period.
Yeah.
And the coming of Rome. And I can't remember the author is one of my favorites of that.
What is about that particular time period that you find so fascinating?
Well, I got sucked into the whole Arthurian thing like anybody else. Like, oh, yeah, Excalibur and the king, what's the future king and the mystical and like all that. And then at some point in college, I got really fascinated and like, wait a minute. There's actually a real historical figure that may have inspired this. And I wanted to find out all about it. So I started really digging into Roman Britain. And they think Arthur was post-Rome, that he was probably, or whoever the Arthurian character was based on, was a general who hung around after Rome had left Britain. But doing all those studies really got me interested in the Celtics that were in the Isles before the Romans came, and what those people were like, because that's sort of lost to history. When we think of English, we're thinking of Angles and Saxons and a little bit and a Norman frosting on top. We kind of lose that whole Celtic aspect of it. So the coming of Rome may be out of print, sadly. It's part of
the
series.
I'm sure you'll be able to find it somewhere.
It really does one of the best historical explanations by J.S. Walker, W-A-C-H-E-R, published in 1983. Best explanation among many very good explanations of what the island of Britain was like before Rome invaded.
So is there anything in the last couple centuries that you like to explore in the nonfiction territory?
Oh, yeah. The Nancy Reagan bio by Kitty Kelly. Great. So you want something more recent?
Well, no. That'll count. I'm just curious. Well, no. And I'll tell you, this is totally selfish just because for me, I'm a huge nonfiction reader. I'm probably more of a nonfiction reader than I am a fiction reader, but I'm always kind of more drawn to, you know, like political stuff or, you know, sociology stuff.
I'm actually reading The Grand Design by Stephen Hawking right now.
Oh, really?
That's my current nonfiction reading. Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. It's a little new agey, but okay. It actually has enough physics in it that it can lead you to some really good science. So I wouldn't read that on its own necessarily because it gets a tiny, tiny bit trippy.
Yeah.
Horrible. But it has real holographic physics in there, and the idea of whether our existence is actually created by the same principles that create holograms. That's pretty compelling.
Dude, that's hardcore.
Yeah, I'm like, I that was an influential book on me as far as sparking my interest in reading about real physics. And if you want to get really hardcore, then Quantum Electrodynamics, QED by Richard Feynman.
Yes.
The book about quantum mechanics and any of the Feynman lectures, unabridged or abridged, that you can find. Or any, honestly, if that's too heavy for you, any of the Feynman books.
I'll tell you what. I mean, I would.
You're joking, Mr. Feynman.
Exactly. I would throw, you know, in if we're to include autobiography with biography or memoirs, you know, I would certainly say, surely you're joking, Mr. Feynman is up there for me. That was fantastic.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's like you ask me these questions and I blank. And then when I start answering with some crap answer, then I start to realize, oh, wait, I've read that too. Oh, wait.
No, so that's fine. You know, it's a free flowing conversation between two friends, Tom.
That's what makes good podcasting.
Hey, everybody. A book that was made into a good movie. So this is a little bit trickier because you gotta vouch for both the book and the film.
Yeah.
But we can explore this territory.
Yeah, so this is my crap answer. But it's not a very crappy answer. I just wonder if I'll come up with a better answer as I talk. But
sure.
Do androids dream of electric sheep? Because yes. As I mentioned, Philip K. Dick, I love Philip K. Dick. And obviously made into an amazing movie in Blade Runner, even though it was not faithful to the original story in most any way.
And I would say that is a crucial caveat of doing a adaptation is knowing when to go away from the source material and when to stay faithful to it. I mean, I think if you're going to make it its own separate art form, you got to look at the core tenets, keep faithful to those, and then just write your own narrative around it.
Lord of the Rings trilogy too. I mean, how can you not acknowledge that? I mean, it's an insanely good book. And an insanely well done movie that is rather faithful to the source material. So on the faithful versus unfaithful sides of things.
And that's also one of those where you almost got to give it double points because it had that could never be a good movie sort of stink on it. Like it was too massive. It was too dense.
Right.
It went in too many directions. It was too mythological. You know, that for them to do as entertaining of a movie and not only to succeed on an artistic level, but a commercial level. I mean, you really got to tip your hat to it. And also three films, you know.
Yeah,
have them
Star Wars, amazing book that was turned into a, no. Actually, I have been interested in, there's been some publications of George Lucas's original treatments, which read kind of like a novel.
Yeah.
And how different they are from
More kind of Flash Gordon. Then things wound up ending.
There's a Mace Windu type character in the original.
Oh, so really?
That stuck around.
Huh.
But yeah, then, you know, Anakin Starkiller is a separate character from Skywalker. He's a totally different guy. And
oh, really?
Darth Vader doesn't have a helmet. Darth Vader and Anakin are two different people. And Darth Vader is just wearing like a samurai helmet. He doesn't have breathing apparatus or anything.
Jeez.
Weird. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. Are those available?
There's a Star Wars book. Well, there's two books. And I read one of them recently and I could always have it at my mind until of course you asked me for it. Droid Factory. Is that what it's called? It's an unofficial account of everything that happened in the Star Wars, universe. But then there was a second one, that was put out officially by Lucas. That's like the Star Wars compendium. It's a huge coffee table book. And that has a lot of the pages from the original.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, that is all the stuff that I have on here now. But, you know, just to kind of throw out there, let me add on. What are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now? I'm reading a lot. I am reading.
So you're one of those juggle 3-4 kind of books, guys.
As I mentioned, I'm reading The Grand Design by Stephen Hawking. I'm reading Before They Are Hanged by Joe Abercrombie. It's a fantasy book.
Okay.
Second in the First Law series. And I just picked up Zero History. It just shipped it to me yesterday. So I've dived into that as well.
Fantastic. Well, everybody listening, of course, when this podcast goes live on blurbtasting.com, hopefully you either found it there or on iTunes or anywhere else that we're going to post it, you can find all of Tom Merritt's selections, not only the ones that were the official answers to the questions, but also all the other ones that we talked about on a very
700
page.
Other caveats that I made.
No, that's fine. I love it. Well, because that's the thing. And that was kind of the point of the site, or is the point of the site, is... you know, that you know, these kind of recommendations shape who, you know, somebody is, and to get an insight into their point of view like that is important and very cool. So you will be able to, hopefully I will have a URL. Ace Detect, that is ACEDTECT at blurbtastic.com. Right there, where we will direct you to go find all of Tom's picks. But until then, you can follow Ace Detect. Can you spell it? Because I know I'll get it wrong.
ACEDTECT.
On Twitter, as well as please subscribe to all of Tom's billion podcasts, including Tech News Today on the Twit Network, Sword and Laser on the Frog Pants Network, Tom's Top 5 on Revision 3, and what else? What else do you do, Tom?
Just go to TomMerritt.com has everything.
There we go. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks, Justin. This was fun.